from Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello once again and welcome to the program in the Saviour's precious name. I'm glad that you're taking time to join with us, and it's my prayer as you hear God's word today that you will hear the Lord's voice speaking to your heart. Our preacher is the Reverend Ian Brown, and he's turning our thoughts to two verses of Scripture, one found in Mark's Gospel 6 and verse 3, "Is not this the carpenter?" and the other in John 19 verse 17, "And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called Golgotha." But before the message, let's hear these words in song.
Good morning. In this message, we're going to consider the subject of trees from a biblical standpoint. Well, one tree in particular. But before we get to that message, let's read a few words relevant to our subject today from the Gospel of John. John chapter 19, the verses 16 to 18. "Then delivered he Jesus therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst." To return to our original question, what do you see when you look at a tree? That depends to a very great degree upon who you are and what you are. For example, a carpenter will look at a tree and in it he'll see so much timber, capable of being shaped by his skill into an ornament, a chair, a wardrobe, whatever. A botanist comes along and looks at the same tree, and he immediately classifies it as belonging to a particular species, poplar, larch, oak, beech, cypress, sycamore, whatever. A poet will come, and he may well look at the same tree, and as he does so, its sheer beauty causes his soul to burst into song, and before you know it, he's writing a few lines of poetry about that particular tree. There's no need for me to remind you that our Lord Jesus Christ was a carpenter. Long before the nails held the carpenter to Calvary, the carpenter held the nails. And in that little carpentry shop at Nazareth, he must have made many lovely and useful things. When he took off his apron for the last time and laid the plane and the axe, the saw and the hammer aside, he didn't stop being a worker in wood. The hymn writer said, "O loving God, when I behold a forest and know that thou hast planted every tree, in memory's eye I see a tree on Calvary where thy dear son was crucified for me." This morning, I want to, well, I suppose you could say, nail two Bible verses together. Mark chapter 6, verse 3 is one of them, "Is not this the carpenter?" And John 19, verse 17 is the other, "And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called Golgotha. And taking these verses out of the Word of God today, I want to suggest that taking the rough timber of his cross, Jesus turned it into four things. The first thing that he turned the timber of the cross into was a balance in which to weigh the worth of the human soul. How much is man worth? His body, for instance. Someone has drawn up what is a far from flattering assessment of the chemical value of a human body. They have told us that the body of a 10-stone man contains enough water to fill a 10-gallon barrel, fat for 7 bars of soap, carbon for 9,000 lead pencils, phosphorus to make 2,200 match heads, magnesium for 1 dose of salts, lime to whitewash a chicken coop, and sulphur to rid 1 dog of fleas. The total? Well, when that calculation was done quite a few years ago, it was put at roughly 10 shillings. Man's body isn't worth very much. But what about his soul? Much of the modern world doesn't set the value of a human soul very high. In fact, many would dispute the fact that man has a soul at all. But how much is a soul worth? Jesus didn't hesitate to say that the soul of man is more valuable than the whole world. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus questioned in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. Your soul is worth more than the whole world. Fancy paying an insurance premium on that. And Jesus wasn't just saying it. He proved that he really meant it in the price that he paid to redeem our souls. He demonstrated for all of the world to see that he esteems the value of a human soul above anything else. Where did he demonstrate that? He demonstrated it at the cross. Paul puts it like this in Romans 5 and verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The cross, then, is a balance in which to weigh the worth of the human soul. See what value the Lord puts upon us by gazing at Calvary. Now, that's the first thing the carpenter has made of his cross, a balance in which to weigh the human soul. I need to ask you today, have you weighed your soul in the balance of the cross? Do you realize what a priceless treasure it is? Or are you throwing it thoughtlessly away? Again, Jesus, the carpenter, the crucified, made out of that cross a coffin in which to bury sin forever. A godly African Christian told a congregation that as he was climbing the hill coming along to the meeting, he heard steps coming in behind him. He turned and in his vision he saw a man carrying a very heavy load up the hill on his back. He was full of sympathy for the man and he spoke to him, and then he noticed that the hands of the man were scarred and he realized it was Jesus. He said to him, "Lord, are you carrying the world's sins up that hill?" "No," said the Lord to him, "not the world's sins, just yours." As the African told simply that vision that God had given him, the hearts of his listeners were broken because they saw their sins on Jesus at the cross. Kate Kelly put it like this, "Give me a sight, O Saviour, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. O wonder of all wonders, that through thy death for me, my open sins, my secret sins, can all forgiven be. O make me understand it, help me to take it in, what it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin." Once a man has seen Jesus Christ bearing his sins on the cross, he could never sin comfortably again. Oh, he may lapse now and then into sin, he may at times fall short of what he should be, and he will, but no longer can he sin comfortably or easily. Has Christ the carpenter, the Saviour, the substitute, fashioned a coffin for your sins? Or do those sins of yours still dominate and tyrannize your life? Out of the wood of his cross, our Lord has made a balance in which to weigh the worth of the human soul, a coffin in which to bury sin forever, and a ladder by which a sinful soul may scale the skies. A ladder. The way to heaven is not a tower that man builds up. It's a ladder that God lets down. Dr. Alexander McLaren, famous Baptist preacher, put it like this, "It's no use to try to build a tower whose top shall reach to heaven. A ladder has been let down on which we may pass upwards, and by which God's angels of grace and beauty will come down to dwell in our hearts." You'll probably remember what Elizabeth Cleethian said in her great hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. As to the holy patriarch, that wondrous dream was given, so seems my Saviour's cross to me, a ladder up to heaven. Dr. Alexander White used to tell a wonderful little story about how once, during family worship in his own home, he'd been reading about the cross. At his knees stood his tiny 4-year-old boy. The father stooped down and he asked him, "Do you know what a cross is?" "Oh yes, Dad," was the reply. "It's just the thing we climb on when we go to heaven." In a real sense, he was right. We rise by the work that Jesus performed upon the Calvary's cross. There's no other way, no other entrance into heaven. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, Hebrews 9:22 tells us. So Christ the carpenter has taken the wood of his cross, and out of it he has made a ladder by which a sinful soul may scale the skies. Have you started to climb upwards on this heavenly ladder? There is a fourth thing that Christ has fashioned out of the wood of his cross. Not only a balance in which to weigh the worth of the human soul, or a coffin in which to bury sin forever, or even a ladder by which a sinful soul may scale the skies, the fourth thing is a throne from which he dominates the ages. In Westminster Abbey there's an old chair. It's so paintless and dilapidated that most of us wouldn't give it house room. Yet that old chair is priceless, because it's the throne on which, with one exception only, the sovereigns of England have been crowned since the time of Edward I. Towering infinitely high above all the thrones of earth is one which is even cruder than that ancient coronation chair in the Abbey. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. That rugged old Roman gibbet is the firmest throne in the universe, firmer, more enduring, distinctly more wonderful than the throne of the Roman Empire on which Caesar then sat. When all other seats of power have toppled into oblivion, when every other presidency has fallen, this throne will live on, the guarantee of our eternal security in Christ. That reminds me of the words of Isaac Watts. Under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defence is sure. The greatest throne in the world isn't that of any earthly empire. It's the throne which Christ the carpenter has made out of his cross. From the tree he reigns. From those two beams transfixed one upon the other, he dominates the ages. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King reigning from the cross. Tell me today, have you bowed before that blood-bathed throne of Calvary? Have you offered the Redeemer of men the love and the loyalty of your heart? Have you come to him and pleaded for his salvation to be granted to you and said, "Lord, be the king of my life, be the director of my affairs, save me and lead me to follow you all the way"? If not, I pray that you will today.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's programme. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.